John chapter 17, we're going to read verses 16 through 19. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sake I consecrate myself, so that they also may be sanctified in truth. Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, we pray that you would bless not just the reading of your word, but the preaching of your word this morning. That as your word is proclaimed, that you would indeed drive it deep into our hearts, transform us, change us, make us more like Christ. Oh, Heavenly Father, may your words not return to you void this morning, but accomplish the purpose for which you have sent them. For it's in you we pray. Amen. I was recently having a conversation over lunch with Pastor Jake Hooker over at Providence Presbyterian Church in Salem, and with Pastor John Penny Legion, or Pastor Penny, as people call him, down at Christ the King in South County, about the driving habits of people in Roanoke. The three of us were talking specifically about driving distances and about how far people in Roanoke are willing to drive. Pastor Penny was under the impression that because you can get from Salem to southeast Roanoke in about 25 minutes, that a church in Salem, like Providence, could switch its location to southeast Roanoke with little trouble, which made Jake and I both laugh quite a bit. For one thing, Jake grew up in Glenver, and so Jake and I are aware of that sort of invisible barrier between Roanoke and Salem that apparently Penny is not aware of. And also the fact that 25 minutes is just too far in Roanoke for most Roanokers to want to drive. Penny is from St. Louis, and for him, 25 minutes was a short commute, and so he was convinced that anybody in Roanoke would be willing to drive 25 minutes. We had to tell him that actually even people in northwest Roanoke would not be thrilled about driving even 15 minutes to get to southeast. And again, Penny didn't believe us. He said, it's only 15 minutes. How could that really be a problem? Which is kind of funny, considering that Christ the King Presbyterian in South County, when Christ the King was planted, gave distance as one of the reasons why there needed to be another PCA church down in South County. And so Jake and I had to remind Penny about the history of his own church, but also point out that Penny apparently hasn't been paying attention for the years that he has lived here in Roanoke. Roanokers typically have about a 10 to 12 minute driving tolerance, and if it's beyond that, then it's just simply too far. Downtown Roanoke is a day trip. Christiansburg might as well be hours away. Fincastle's on the other side of the planet, and Boone's Mill might as well be on the moon. All of which led Jake and I to conclude the inevitable conclusion of Penny, you aren't from around here. And Penny's not. He's from St. Louis, and actually, Penny's Canadian, so he's not even from the U.S. We had to explain to him, Penny, you've got to be in Roanoke for a while and understand these things. You're not from around here. Or as the cool kids like to say, tell me you aren't from Roanoke without telling me that you aren't from Roanoke. Which is, in essence, what Jesus is praying for his disciples here in John chapter 17 when he prays to his Father there in verse 16, sanctify them. Let it be seen, let it be known, let it be a reality that they're not from around here. They're not part of this world, as Jesus says there in verse 14. Jesus' followers, those that the Father has given to Christ in verse 6, they no longer belong to the kingdom of darkness. God has now transferred them out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of light. And so their citizenship now belongs to those who are part of that kingdom, now belongs to those who are not of the world. It now belongs as a citizen to the new heavens and the new earth, the new Jerusalem, which is kept in glory, ready to be revealed at the end of time. Our citizenship, even, as we are reminded throughout the New Testament, is no longer as part of this world. Instead, just like the disciples of Jesus Christ, just like his followers, our citizenship is in heaven. And so Jesus prays, let that separation, let that difference of citizenship be a reality. Make it obvious. Let it be seen. Let it be noticed. Let it be realized that these disciples, these followers, and even as Jesus prays in the rest of this chapter, those who will believe the word of the apostles in ages to come, let it be seen that they are apart and they are distinct from the world. Typically, though, when we read that word sanctify, which literally means make holy, we usually think of it in terms of holiness as related to godliness, meaning that we view holiness as being without sin. Be holy as God is holy. And we expect then that when Jesus is praying, God sanctify them, that what we mean is God work in them so that they become more like Christ, so that they become less sinful, that they become more holy. Let people see the moral goodness of these disciples. Let them see the love for God. Let them see that there's a difference in their behavior that causes people to stand up and say, like Jake and I said to Penny, you're not from around here. Your mindset, your behavior is different. It reveals a different citizenship. We expect when we compare the behavior and the holiness or the lack of holiness with the disciples and with those who follow after Christ, with the people of this world, that there will be a marked distinction. There'll be a difference. And yet look at verse 18 here, where Jesus reveals that the sanctifying that Jesus has in mind is related more to a mission, more to a calling. Jesus says, sanctify them as you have sent them into the world, sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. Jesus is asking the Father to sanctify and to set these disciples apart, to make them distinct from the world in connection with this calling of being sent into the world. The language of sanctifying here doesn't simply mean being holy in terms of godliness. It means being set apart, being a part of a different group of people with a particular purpose, a particular position, a particular calling, a particular category in terms of job or duty. Jesus here is really using language that's very similar of the description of the priests in the Old Testament. You may remember in the Old Testament that there were two different categories of people. There were people who were clean, and there were people who were unclean. Clean people were those that could actually go into the temple, that could approach God, that could offer the sacrifices, and that could worship him. The unclean people were people who were defiled in some way. They'd either violated one of the cleanliness laws of the Old Testament, or they had some sickness or disease, or they'd done something they weren't supposed to do, so they no longer clean, they were unclean. And yet, if you were clean, you were only commonly clean. Not only could a person be clean and unclean, but a person was also common or they were holy. There were also two distinctions even among the clean people. So if you were clean, you were just commonly clean. In order to be put into this category of holy, you had to be designated as holy. You had to be set apart. You had to be designated that by God. God declared that you were holy, that you had a particular job, that you had a particular duty. In a word, you were sanctified. You were set apart. To be holy was to be clean, but to be clean was not necessarily to be holy. To be clean was just to be clean. But there was a group of people, especially the priests, that were set apart by God, and God said, these people are holy. These people are distinct. They have separate duties. In fact, the high priest would actually wear a headband that read, holy to the Lord, because it was this high priest that was the one who was holy to the Lord that could enter into the Holy of Holies, to offer the blood on the mercy seat during the Day of Atonement. But all of the priests, because they were holy, were allowed to enter into the tabernacle and eventually into the temple. And only them, no one else was allowed to go in, only those who were holy. You may remember King Uzziah attempted to go into the tabernacle, into the temple and offer up incense. And the priests had to come and actually force him out of the temple. And he actually was struck with leprosy because he went in when he wasn't supposed to. Because he wasn't part of that category. He wasn't part of that group. He wasn't designated holy as a priest. That was a priest's calling. They were separate. They were distinct. They were sanctified for that purpose, for that mission, to offer up the sacrifices of God. That's really the language that Jesus is using here when he says, sanctify them. Set these men apart. Set these disciples apart. These women apart. These followers that have been following me, set them apart for this special purpose that I am sending them into the world. Declare them to be holy. Declare them to have a specific mission, to be a specific group of people that are going to go out and declare to the world. And remember in John, world is always a negative term. They're going to go out into that dark world and they are going to declare the truth of the gospel. They're going to go out and they're going to talk about the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. They're going to talk about the fact that Christ has been crucified in our place, that he died the death that we deserve because of our sins against a holy God. They're going to go out and they're going to declare that in him, in faith in him, we can confess our sins and we can be forgiven. Because he lived a perfect life for us, we can be declared perfect. And because he rose again and now lives for us, we too are put in that special category, that holy category of those who have been called and commissioned by God to be sent out to carry the gospel. That calling extends to you and I. We too have been set apart. Those who follow Christ are sanctified for this purpose. We are set apart for that purpose. Even as we're reminded by the Apostle Peter, as those who believe in Jesus Christ, we are now a royal priesthood. We have been set apart and given a specific purpose. According to Peter, a royal priesthood offering spiritual sacrifices to God in Christ Jesus, we're no longer just common, now we're holy. Now we are set apart into this special group of people. We often talk about talking prophetically to our world. That's a common phrase that we use. It would be more accurate, though, to say that we're supposed to talk priestly to our world. Because according to Malachi, true instruction was supposed to be on the lips of a priest. This is what we've been set apart for. This is what we've been designated for. We are that group of people that's no longer common, no longer part of this world, that is called to proclaim the word of God. Which means that as Jesus is saying, Father, sanctify them, Jesus' main point is not make them sinless. His main point is place this calling upon them. Put them in this category of called persons. And that's not to suggest, though, that Jesus is saying godliness doesn't matter. Instead, our godliness and our quest for holiness actually flows from the category in which we belong. We are this group of holy people. We have been designated. We have been set apart. And because of that, we are called to live godly lives. As Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, those who are saints, who are holy, but are also called to be holy. Because we've been put in this category of people, because we've been given a specific purpose, a specific mission to declare the glories of God, we live in a particular way in order to accomplish that calling. Paul even writes in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 21, if anyone cleanses himself from what is dishonorable, he will be a vessel for honorable use, set apart as holy, useful to the master of the house, and ready for every good work. We have been placed in this category of people. We've been given a calling, a set purpose, and the way that we best accomplish that holy calling as ambassadors is to live lives that seek to honor and glorify Jesus Christ. And so while sinlessness may not be Jesus' primary emphasis here when he says sanctify, meaning set them apart, it is a major part and directly connected with what Jesus says. Because you've been set apart, we live important way in a particular way. And yet Jesus goes on and says, it's not just that we have been given a calling, not just that we have been set apart into this separate category. Jesus says the same is true of himself. He says there in verse 19, he says, for their sake, I consecrate myself. Here translated in the ESV, which really is that same word, sanctify. I sanctify myself. I set myself aside. Jesus says, I am setting myself to accomplish a mission. Just as my disciples have been given a mission, just as I am sanctifying them and sending them out, so too Jesus says, I have been sanctified, set apart, and am set out to accomplish the mission for which God the Father sent Christ into the world, to redeem the world through him. And so Jesus here is declaring he's taking up that mission. He is going to accomplish that mission. He is going to do the very thing that he has been called to do, even though that mission is going to require his death. It's going to require him to be crucified. Just a few short hours after he prays this prayer, he will be crucified, he will be sent to the cross, he will be dying for his people. And yet he makes clear that in order for them to be sanctified, in order for them to be set apart, in order for them to be declared holy, he has to die. He has to die in their place. He has to die to pay the penalty for their sin. He has to die to make them holy, crediting his righteousness to them. He has to die in order for them to be set apart. They can't be sent into the world. They can't be set apart unless he goes to the cross. In order for this calling that is being given to the disciples, in order for the calling that's been given to us to become a reality, Jesus has to die. He has to go to the cross. It is only through the cross and faith in that cross, that calling becomes a reality. It's only in Christ that we are transferred from one category, transferred from the world into this set-apart people of God. We can't designate ourselves as holy. We can't make ourselves a royal priesthood because we're condemned sinners. We are captive to our sin. We are facing the judgment of God, which is something that Christ certainly knew because he goes to the cross. He willingly takes up this calling to die in order to set his people free so that they might be holy, so that they might be set apart for the mission of God as the people of God. Jesus knows, even as he says here, this is the only way. He says, for their sake, I consecrate myself, that they also may be sanctified in truth. He recognizes it is the only way. Unfortunately, though, we often act as though there is another way. We act as though we can be holy on our own, that somehow we can place ourselves in this group of people who have this special calling, that if we just give it enough effort, if we just work hard enough, if we just strive enough after holiness, that we can fulfill the calling that God has placed upon us according to our own power and our own effort. If we just work hard enough, we can get it done. And yet the reality, as Jesus explains it here, is no matter how hard we try, we fail. If you've spent any time around teenagers in the last couple of weeks, you've probably heard them say the number 6 and the number 7. I can assure you 6-7 has absolutely no meaning whatsoever, but 6-7 is what all the cool kids are saying. Which is why my dear wife, attempting to be cool recently, made a joke about 67. Which made everyone laugh, not because she was cool, but because 67 is just a number, and in the world of teenagers, 6-7 is not the same as 67. 67 is not cool. In fact, it's worse than cool, because it's an adult trying to be cool. But that's often what happens when we try in our own power, in our own effort, in our own thinking, I'm going to do this. I'm going to join this category, whether it be the category of the cool, or in this case, I'm going to join this category of the holy. We may look the part, we may act the part, but eventually it becomes evident we have nothing to do with that particular category. We've not been washed with the blood of Jesus Christ. We've not been washed in the blood of the Lamb. We've not trusted in the cross. Jesus here says, I'm going to the cross. I'm consecrating myself to the cross, dedicating myself to the cross, because it's the only way. This is the only way that my people can be set apart from the sinful category of this world. It's the only way that they can be called as ambassadors of God. Jesus humbles himself in order to make this calling a reality. While John, as he's writing this, is writing this to call us in faith to the fact that Christ went to the cross in order to make this reality, so that we might be forgiven and that we might be part of this category, this set-apart group, the saints of God, the holy. We cannot be holy on our own. We cannot eliminate sin on our own. We can't take up that mission of God on our own. We just simply cannot. It is not possible. And the same is true of our calling to godliness in response to this holy calling. It's not just the start of this calling. It's not just the actual being set apart into this category that is accomplished through the cross, but the ongoing sanctifying work of Christ as he continues to make us more and more godly, the working of his Spirit in us that makes us live out this calling, what it is that we have been called to as this holy group of people. Just as we might be tempted to think that we can serve God without going through Christ, without going through the cross, we often act like we can live up to that calling. We can fulfill all the requirements of that category, all the requirements of that calling. I can be holy, I can go out and proclaim Christ, but I can do it on my own power, with my own effort. And while effort towards holiness is certainly a good thing, pursuing holiness, we must remember that we're fighting an enemy that we've never been able to overcome and will never be able to overcome on our own, because we're fighting against our own sin. We're fighting against the power of darkness. And yet oftentimes it appears as though we think, well, Jesus got me started. He got me started with the power of the cross, but now I can take it from here. And yet that has never been the case and will never be the case. We still need the power of the cross of Christ. It's not just that Christ is starting this category, but that Jesus is the power of the category, the power of the saints of God, the power of his Spirit continuing to sanctify us in terms of godliness, to make us less and less like the world and more like Christ. Jesus is praying that the Father would put his followers into that category of holy, sanctifying them, set them apart for that mission of telling others, send them out. But Jesus also knows, as the Apostle John does, that the work of God continues to be needed in our lives, even when we're in that category, because we continue to be sinners. We continue to need his help to live according to the holy calling of Christ Jesus placed upon us, both in terms of personal godliness and in terms of the mission that is ours in Christ, to proclaim him Because if we're honest, we recognize that we don't always want to live according to that category that we've been placed in. We don't always want to be used by him to declare his word to others. Even when we know that we're in that holy category, even when we know we've been transferred into the kingdom of light, when we know that our citizenship is in heaven, even when we know that we have been declared holy, we don't always want to live according to that. There are times when we don't want to be different from the world. I myself, as many of you know, have been placed in a particular health category as a diabetic. I know I'm a diabetic. My family knows I'm a diabetic. My doctor knows I'm a diabetic. There's no denying that I'm a diabetic. And yet when there's dessert on the table, the truth is I want to deny that I'm a diabetic. My kids will often say, "Dad, that's not diabetic friendly." And to which I have to reply, at times, I don't care. I know what I'm not supposed to eat. It's not a knowledge issue. I know what I should do. Or in the case of dessert, I know what I should not do. I don't need help knowing the category that I'm in. I know the category that I'm in. The problem is my desires don't always line up with that category. I don't always want to follow it. And it's the same with us as followers of Christ. Jesus says, put them in this category, sanctify them, and yet Jesus also knows we continue to need help once we've been declared to be a part of that category because our desires continue to need to be changed. We need to desire holiness. We need to desire to actually be godly. We need to desire to actually fulfill this calling that has been placed upon us. We need our desires to be changed. And yet Jesus assures us here, we have everything that we need. We have everything that we need to be changed and transformed. Because as Jesus says in verse 17, this initial sanctifying of being declared to be in this holy category with a holy calling takes place by the word of God. The truth of the word of God. Sanctify them in truth, says Jesus. Your word is truth. Jesus has repeatedly talked about the word of God in this chapter. Verse 6, he says, they have kept your word. Verse 14, I have given them your word. The word came from God. It was given to Christ. Christ gave it to his disciples who have believed that word. And by faith in that word, God has set them apart. And God has declared them to be holy and sanctified. And it is actually that same word then that they are being sent out to proclaim to others, that they too might be called out of darkness and into light. And it is that word of God that continues to be the instrument of our sanctification, the instrument of which we fulfill our calling, but also the instrument that continues to refine us and call us to repentance, that continues to point out our lack of godliness and our need for repentance. As the Holy Spirit works through Scripture, it reminds us of the truth of who Christ is, the truth of the holiness of God, the truth of this calling that's been placed upon us. It points out sin. It points us to godliness. It reminds us of the repentance that we can always turn to and come to Christ Jesus and find forgiveness and find help in our time of need. It continues to show us how we should live. The word of God is a means of grace to us, both here of saving grace, calling us to Christ in the first place, but also that ongoing work of sanctifying us and making us holy, refining us. Jesus says, sanctify them in truth. Father, your word is truth. Which means that as we recognize that this calling that has been placed upon us, we have this calling to be holy, we have this calling to go out and proclaim the word of God, Jesus has basically said, Father, give them what they need. And we have the confidence that he has indeed given us everything that we need to accomplish this calling. It's a daunting calling as we consider what it is that we are called to. Called to be holy as he is holy. Called to live set apart lives. Called to be distinct. Called to be in this separate category. Called to proclaim the gospel. And yet Christ reminds us we have all that we need. Because we have the word of God. We have the Holy Spirit. We have God himself here, who is interceding on behalf of his people, the Son crying out to the Father, Father, continue to work in them and to give them what they need and continue to accomplish what they need in them. In fact, we have not only the written word, we have not only the Spirit of God, but we have the living word here, demonstrating his ongoing work on our behalf as he intercedes for us. We have all that we need. There's nothing that we lack. in the power of the Holy Spirit. There's nothing that we lack in the power of the Word of God, the Word of truth. There's nothing that we lack in the ongoing work of the Son. All that needed to be accomplished has been accomplished, and all that needs to be done is being done by our triune God. Which gives us the confidence then, as we recognize that this calling has been given to us, to pursue that calling. Recognizing that we're pursuing it not in our own power, not in our own effort, but we're pursuing it in faith in the power of God, working in us through His Spirit and through His Word. It gives us the confidence to remember who we are, that we are in this category. Because of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, I have been set apart. We have been set apart as His people. We are saints of God, declared to be holy, and tasked with a specific purpose, a specific calling, a specific mission to go out and proclaim the truth, and given the means and the power to accomplish that calling, all of which calls us to pursue it in faith. It gives us the confidence to strive to do what we have been called to do, to proclaim the gospel, to pursue godliness, knowing that we go forward equipped and empowered and encouraged by God Himself, the one who has sanctified us, the one who is sanctifying us, the one who calls us to be holy. May we indeed then strive to live lives set apart. May we strive then to proclaim the gospel, because that is the very purpose for which He has set us apart. That is the very purpose for which He has empowered us. Let's pray.